Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, listeners. I'm your host, Amara, and this is Black Girl Gone, a true crime podcast. On this episode of Black Girl Gone, I tell the story of Latasha Norman, a 20-year-old college student who disappeared on November 13, 2007, in Jackson, Mississippi. At the time, Latasha was a student at Jackson State University. But on the day she was last seen, Latasha attended her class. After she left her last class, Latasha vanished. The next day, when her car was found on campus with no sign of her, she was reported missing. A few weeks later, her body was found in a wooded area. She had been stabbed to death. When detectives dig into Latasha's life, they discover that she had been a victim of domestic violence, and it didn't take them long to figure out who was responsible for her disappearance and ultimately her murder. This is Latasha's story. For a long time, domestic violence in teen and young adult relationships wasn't something that people discussed very often. But in recent years, more and more people have been speaking out and bringing awareness to the issue. The senseless murder of Latasha Norman is a heartbreaking example of how a young love can turn violent and deadly. Since her murder, Latasha's family has made it their mission to bring awareness to the epidemic of domestic violence. They do it to honor Latasha and in hopes that they can save another young woman from meeting the same fate. Latasha was born in Greenville, Mississippi on April 21st, 1987, where she was raised by her mother Patricia and her stepfather Danny. She grew up in a large, close-knit family in the small town. Her mom said that Latasha always had a smile on her face, and you almost never saw her angry. Growing up close to family for some means your cousins become more than cousins. They're more like siblings, and Latasha was very close with her cousins, especially her cousin Takesha. She was a few years older than her, and so Latasha looked up to her and wanted to do everything she did. In high school, her family said that she was shy at first, but she slowly came out of her shell. Her older cousin was a majorette, and so Latasha also joined the squad. And her family said once she did, she really blossomed. When it came to her schoolwork, Latasha was a hardworking, ambitious student who always put her all into all the things that she did. She had a lot of goals for her future, and the people who knew and loved her had no doubt that she would accomplish them all. As a kid, Latasha wanted to be a teacher, but as she got older, she decided that she wanted to pursue a career in accounting. Her dream was to attend Jackson State University, an HBCU located in Jackson, Mississippi. The Norman family had a long legacy at the school, and several of her family members had played football, and so it was a family tradition to attend Jackson State. Latasha graduated high school in 2005 and began her freshman year at Jackson State that fall. For those who went away for college, then you know the excitement that comes when you move into campus for the first time. And once in college, Latasha fully embraced life at Jackson State. It was a dream of hers, and she took full advantage of her time there. She was very focused while in school and got good grades, which often placed her on the dean's list. She majored in accounting, and she wanted to open an accounting firm back in Greenville with her cousin after graduation. When it came to her social life, Latasha's family said she didn't really go out much, but she did have a boyfriend, a young man named Stanley, who she had been dating on and off since high school. Stanley was a few years older than Latasha and had already graduated high school when they began dating. He had not gone to college, but once Latasha began at Jackson State, she encouraged Stanley to go to college with her, and so she helped him get accepted to the school. Her family said that she really pushed Stanley to be better in multiple areas of his life. Once enrolled at Jackson State, Stanley majored in criminal justice, and he and Latasha continued dating. But in 2007, they broke up. They went their separate ways, and they both began dating other people. Latasha had met a young man named Marquise, and by all accounts, he was a nice guy that she really liked. In early November of 2007, Latasha even brought Marquise home to Greenville so that he could meet her family. But when Latasha came home to introduce her family to her new boyfriend, they had no idea that they would never see her again. Her cousin Takesha said that the day after she had been in Greenville, Latasha called her. She said she could tell that something was wrong, but she was busy, and so she told her she would call her back. But Takesha said when she called Latasha, she didn't answer her phone. Looking back, she now wonders if something was going on that Latasha wanted to tell her. A few days later, on November 13th, 2007, Latasha's mom had been unable to get in contact with her. And she would normally talk to her daughter after she finished her classes, but on that day, she didn't hear from Latasha, and when she tried to call her, she didn't answer her phone. Latasha's parents were almost immediately concerned. And by this time, she was in her junior year at Jackson State, and so they were accustomed to a certain routine when she was at school. And so the fact that she didn't call them or wasn't answering her phone was troubling. When her mom and dad couldn't get her, they tried to call Marquise to ask him if he had seen Latasha. On November 14th, 2007, Latasha's mom's phone rang, and it was Marquise returning her call. He told her mom and dad that he hadn't seen Latasha since the day before. He told them that he saw her car on campus, but she was nowhere to be found. And once they spoke to Marquise, Latasha's family knew that something had happened. Something just was not right, and so they got in their cars to make their way to Jackson State to check on their daughter. On their way there, they spoke to Marquise again, who told them that he had gone to campus police to file a missing persons report. Once the campus police received the report about Latasha missing, they began to search around the campus, including in the dorms, but there was no sign of Latasha anywhere on Jackson State's campus. They also spoke to students, but no one had seen or heard anything suspicious. And because campus police had limited resources, they reached out to the Jackson Police Department to get assistance with the case. Once the Jackson PD got involved in the case, they interviewed people close to Latasha, like her boyfriend and her roommate, looking for any information that would give them idea about where Latasha was, but neither of them knew. But they did learn that a month before she went missing, someone had slashed the tires of Latasha's car while it was parked on campus. Now, Latasha had reported the incident to campus police, but the timing seemed very suspicious to police. Someone's tires being slashed usually means that it was personal, and so they wondered if this had anything to do with Latasha's disappearance. In the meantime, Latasha's close-knit family back in Greenville were living a nightmare. No one had seen or heard from Latasha, and as the hours went by, her family's worry had turned to fear. On November 15th, 2007, 2 days after she was last seen, Latasha's cousins decided that they would go to Jackson to look for their cousin on their own. They created flyers and started going door-to-door asking if anyone had seen Latasha. It didn't take long for the local media to pick up the story, and within a couple of days, her disappearance was major news in the area. Latasha's disappearance had not only shook the students at Jackson State, but the people in the surrounding areas also. No one could understand how a young college junior could just disappear without a trace. But despite the attention this case was getting, detectives were having a hard time finding any information about where Latasha could have gone. They knew that she had left class on the afternoon of the 13th, but that she never made it back to her dorm, and She obviously had not driven anywhere because her car was still on campus. But they had no idea what happened to her next. Early into the investigation, the Jackson police decided that they needed the help of the FBI. Once the FBI joined, they were able to use their resources to help figure out where Latasha had gone. After getting the little information that was found from the Jackson police, the FBI pretty much started from the beginning. The first thing they did was pull Latasha's cell phone records. They wanted to see if they could trace her last movements that way. The cell phone data showed that Latasha was at Marquise's apartment, which was a few miles from campus. The data showed that Latasha's phone was traveling from his place back towards Jackson State, but before it got back to campus, the phone was shut off. Investigators were not sure what that meant, but everything they had learned about Latasha, they had doubted that she would have turned the phone off and then just left her life. And so suspicion around Marquise's involvement began to grow. Her family told investigators to take a look at him. They said that his behavior was suspicious to them, and since they knew very little about him, they wondered if he was the reason why Latasha was missing. Investigators also wanted to speak to Marquise, and so he was brought in for questioning. When they spoke to Marquise, he told them that the night before Latasha went missing, she had spent the night at his apartment. Investigators said that they had checked his cell phone records and that everything he had told them had matched up with what they had found. Now, although Latasha's family had been suspicious of Marquise, detectives working the case were not sure if he was involved. And during their interview with Marquise, detectives said that he mentioned the name Stanley Cole and told them that they should speak to him. Up until that point, detectives were not aware of who he was, but they quickly learned that Stanley was Latasha's ex. After learning about him, investigators began looking into Stanley and Latasha's former relationship, and they learned that he was also in a new relationship and that that woman was pregnant with his child. Stanley also apparently withdrew from classes at Jackson State just a week or two prior. Latasha's friends told detectives that they believed Stanley had been the one that slashed Latasha's tires. They also discovered that a little over a month before she went missing, Latasha filed a report with the local police and the campus police after Stanley had hit her and broke her phone. At that time, they were broken up, but it wasn't the first time that Stanley had put his hands on Latasha. Her cousin said that it happened at least one other time while they were still dating. Once detectives learned about Stanley and the alleged abuse that was taking place in his relationship with Latasha, they began to turn their attention to him. As days turned into a week, the urgency to find Latasha was intensifying. After finding nothing in the beginning, the FBI had uncovered disturbing details about Latasha's last relationship, and now they needed to figure out whether those things had anything to do with her disappearance. Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify's POS is your command center for all your retail store needs. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales in one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps drive traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go Mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/girlgone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/girlgone to take your retail business to the next level. That's shopify.com/girlgone. On November 13th, 2007, 20-year-old Latasha Norman vanished after leaving class at Jackson State University. After she went missing, investigators learned that her relationship with her ex had been violent, and now they needed to find out if he had anything to do with Latasha's disappearance. In the days following Latasha's disappearance, detectives had been looking into her relationships. They spoke to her current boyfriend, Marquise, who they did not believe was involved, but they had discovered that her ex-boyfriend, Stanley, had hit Latasha on more than one occasion, the last of which occurred a little over a month before she went missing. And although he was in a new relationship and getting ready to be a father, investigators were becoming more and more suspicious of him. On November 22, 2007, 9 days after Latasha was reported missing, investigators got a huge break in this case. Detectives working the case received a call from a local car dealer about a car he had on his lot that he said was suspicious. The car was a 98 gray Dodge Neon. The car dealer said that the carpet in the trunk had been completely removed, which was weird. People don't normally rip the carpet out of a trunk. It was strange enough to him that he contacted the police. And so detectives took the information about the car, including the VIN number, and when they put the information in the system, they found out that the car belonged to Stanley's girlfriend. And she had apparently traded the car in, but investigators found the timing suspicious with everything that they had learned about Stanley and his relationship with Latasha. The fact that his girlfriend had sold a car that he frequently drove was suspicious, to say the least. And so, after getting the information about the car's owner, detectives were able to obtain search warrants for the vehicle, and it was impounded so it could be searched and tested for DNA. When the vehicle was swapped, the FBI found a significant amount of blood in the trunk of the car. When they compared the DNA found in the trunk with Latasha's, it was a positive match. Latasha had been in the trunk of that car. In the weeks that followed Latasha's disappearance, detectives working the case had trouble figuring out what happened to her, but now they were getting closer to learning the truth, and Stanley was becoming their prime suspect. After confirming the DNA from the car, detectives did a search of Stanley's phone, and they discovered that on the day Latasha was last seen, Stanley's phone pinged at Jackson State, and then it traveled to a wooded area several miles away. After getting the cell phone records, detectives decided that the next person they wanted to talk to was Stanley's girlfriend. When she came to speak to police, she brought Stanley with her, and when she sat down with detectives, she told them that on the night of the 13th, she and Stanley had been home, and at one point, he told her he was going to take the trash out, but when he left, he did not come back for 40 minutes. And since he was already there, detectives decided that they also were going to speak to Stanley at that time. But the detectives who interviewed him said that he was very nonchalant and he seemed to have an attitude. He didn't come off as a concerned ex-boyfriend, and when detectives asked him what he thought should happen to the person that did this to Latasha, he said he didn't know. After speaking to Stanley, detectives were more convinced than ever that he was involved in Latasha's disappearance. The detective interviewing Stanley tried to convince him to do the right thing. The interview continued, and eventually, the detective asked Stanley if he could help them find Latasha, and that's when the guilt began to set in. The detective said that Stanley got teary-eyed and then asked the detective if he told them where Latasha was, would they let him see his mom? At that point, the detective knew he had him, and he was this close to finding Latasha and the details about what happened to her. And so they agreed to bring Stanley's mother in so that she could speak to her son. Their hope was that she would help convince her son to do the right thing and tell them what happened and take them to Latasha. But after Stanley's mom spoke to him, she came out and asked the detectives if her son was under arrest. When they told her that he wasn't, she took Stanley and left. Investigators were so close to finding out the truth about Latasha's disappearance. They thought they were getting ready to find out what happened right there, but instead of Stanley's mom convincing him to tell them what happened, she had did the opposite. With everything that detectives had discovered through this investigation, it all pointed to Stanley as their suspect, and what they had was enough to get a warrant for his arrest. On November 29th, 2007, Stanley Cole was arrested when he came to the Pearl County Municipal Court, where he was facing charges for domestic violence from those reports that Latasha had filed back in October. And once in police custody, Stanley sat down with detectives and he told them that he and Latasha had gotten an argument in his girlfriend's car. He said they were arguing about their past relationship and all the things that they had been through. But Stanley said that during the argument, he hit Latasha with a backhanded fist, striking her in her nose. He said that after he hit her, he realized that he had hit her too hard and she wasn't breathing, and so he panicked and put Latasha in the trunk of his car. He said that he then drove around for a little while, trying to figure out what he was going to do. He then picked up his friend and his friend's girlfriend, and then he picked up his girlfriend, and they all went out to eat. The whole time they were driving around, Latasha was in the trunk of that car. He said after that, he drove Latasha to a wooded area and dumped her body. He told detectives he couldn't explain where she was and that he would have to show them. And so he took investigators to a remote area of North Jackson, and there, they found the body of Latasha Norman. She had been partially covered with cardboard. Her body was badly decomposed, and so they had to use dental records to positively ID her. Because of the advanced decomposition, investigators were not able to immediately determine her cause of death. Stanley's explanation that he had hit her and that she died just didn't seem likely. During the autopsy, a nick was found on her rib cage, and a portion of her rib was missing. The medical examiner determined that she had most likely been stabbed to death, and so they sent Latasha's bones for forensic testing, and they were able to confirm that she had been stabbed. In early 2010, Stanley Cole stood trial for Latasha's murder. He maintained that Latasha's death was an accident. His attorney tried to argue that just because he put Latasha in the trunk, it didn't mean that he had killed her. The jury, however, did not believe him, and Stanley was found guilty. Latasha's family was relieved. They had received justice, and the person responsible for what had happened to Latasha was going to jail. But in 2012, the Mississippi Supreme Court overturned the conviction. Stanley's attorneys had argued that a lesser charge should have been considered, and that their client did not get a fair trial because of the extensive media coverage. The Supreme Court sided with Stanley, and he was granted a new trial. 2 years later, in 2014, Stanley's retrial was set to begin, but the prosecutors instead offered him a plea. 40 years, no parole, no probation, and he accepted it. Latasha's family also agreed to the plea. They did not want to go through another trial. The first one was difficult enough. As of today, Stanley Cole is in a Mississippi prison serving out his sentence. It's now been 16 years since Latasha was brutally murdered. She would be getting ready to turn 37 this year. Most of the people close to her had no idea that Stanley had been abusive towards her. But for people in Latasha's situation, it's very common for them to keep the abuse to themselves. After Latasha's murder, Jackson State University opened up the Latasha Norman Center to help students on campus who are dealing with abusive relationships. In the years since her murder, her family has continued to tell her story in hopes that her story will save a life. Latasha was a beautiful, intelligent young woman who did not deserve what happened to her, but her death has become a rallying cry for those who knew and loved her, and they are determined to keep Latasha's memory alive. May Latasha Norman rest in peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Threads.